This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together the book Gan HaShalom and Hashem Tov. We are continuing in the Hebrew version of the book. We're on page 190, in the ninth chapter. The ninth chapter is entitled Gadol HaShalom, Great is Peace. Lo tzarich liot navi o bal ruach hakodesh bishvil ledat v'beiru. You don't need to be a prophet or someone who has Ruach HaKodesh, divine spirit, in order to know the following. That a man who doesn't listen to his wife, doesn't pay attention to her, doesn't respect her, and who a person who has no patience for her complaints, who he does not make her happy, does not bring love on her, happiness, smiles, like he behaves outside. He is not someone who forgives his own mercy, see, English doesn't have all these words for midot that exist. A person trying to describe their midot, their character, there's no word in English because English doesn't care about the intricate points of having good midot. You're good, you're bad, you're happy, you're sad, you've got a blanket word that covers everything. So you don't need to worry about the minutiae of what the midot is, of what's going on in there. But in Hebrew, there's words which describe what's actually going on, but there's no words in English to say it. A person who is... Who is very particular about his kavod, about his
honor.
So someone, what's the opposite of that? Person who allows his honor to be...
He's like a doormat.
No, but in a good way. Person who's not, you see, we don't even have the understanding in English to say it. It's not good to be standing on your own honor. Like to have gaava, to have honor. Nobody can go against my honor, right? You can't say that to your father. How dare you say that to your father? And then when a person says that, he's not saying it because he's worried about the child breaking the law of kibbud av v'aim. He doesn't care about the law of kibbud av v'aim. He cares about himself. You can't say that to your father, right? So a person shouldn't be like that. A person should be able to forego their own honor. That's a good midah, to be humble. Not to stand, but so I know we English don't even have such a concept that someone would even consider that that's a good enough thing to give a word to call it. But in Hebrew, it's very important. As a Jew, it's important for us to be able to give up on our own honor.
And what's the Hebrew?
To be mochel al kavodo. Literally, it translates as forgive his honor. But it doesn't work. That's the concept. The concept is that this person who acts in this way doesn't give up on his own honor, and he should. He doesn't give up on his own desires. Bishvilah, for her. Meaning her husband needs to be able to give up on what he wants. Right? I want to sleep right now, but my wife wants to talk. So I need to talk. I need to give up on my sleep. I want to read the sports page right now, but my wife wants me to go and pick up some eggs from the shop. I have to go pick up the eggs. Right? That's called giving up my desire for her. It's a good thing. Again, there's no English phrase for what the man is doing there. The man is what? Giving up his own... There's not even a concept that we can try and grasp on. English is so poor as a language in terms of real stuff.
it's like, for English, it would be the reverse. I'm thinking of The Taming of the Shrew, William Shakespeare's play.
Okay.
Where the woman always has to honor the husband, no matter what.
Right. Right. So that's, yeah, so words for honor, respect, we've got plenty of those words. But we don't have have the opposite. Humility, there's not many. You could probably look in the thesaurus for humility for synonyms, you probably wouldn't get many. Because it's not a big concept. Anyway, so we should introduce new words to the English language if we still have to keep speaking it. Otherwise, we should all speak Hebrew and then we'll all do a lot better. Ki ilu haya noheg im ishto kamo shehu menaheg im abuyo. Because if this person acted with his wife the way he acts towards other people, ishto ita yishamu sheret, his wife would be very happy. Vayalehem shalom bayit, he would have shalom bayit. Where we're up to here, we started in the middle of a section. The section at the beginning described the person who on the outside, to everyone else, had lots of patience, listened to all their problems, was very kind. But to his wife, he didn't have time. And what Rav Arishek is explaining is, the person you are at home is the real you. Not the person you are on the street. The person you are at work, or the person you are in yeshiva, the person you are with your friends, that's not the real you.
It's like the story in the first chapter, where you had this big mocker who's giving out to everything and his wife's constantly crying at home because he doesn't do anything to her.
Right, exactly. So that's what he's saying. So he's saying over here, it's not real. Right? Over there in the first chapter when he brought that as a story, he basically brought it as the idea to say when that person gets to heaven, he realizes he missed the boat. Right, but here he's not. And that was kind of the, just to give you the bullet in the brain, to give you the smack in the face to wake you up, to just be aware that's in the chapter one. But here he's actually saying what's going on. He's actually explaining the fact that you are so nice outside is a lie. It's a fake. It's not real. It's not as if you go up to Shemayim and they say, you're actually a really great person. We look at all your deeds and you're an amazing guy. Tom, at home you didn't do so well. And really, we wanted you to work on your home. And you did work on that bit, but the other stuff was great. We loved it. Thank you very much. No, they don't do that. They say, you messed up completely. All that stuff you did outside was nonsense. It was a joke. It was a pretense. It wasn't real. You don't get credit for that. You might get a little credit. Tom, you did some good stuff. But it's not real. It's not like we accept and we buy the fact that 90% of the time you were a great guy. No, we buy the fact that you did good stuff, but it's not real. Because if it was real, you would act that way with the person who accounts to most. It's not. You don't have that midah of giving. If you can't give to your wife, then you don't have a midah of giving. If you can't have patience for your wife, you don't have a midah of patience. No matter what, if we look when you get to Shemayim, we roll up the film and we see you sitting with your friend in the pub having a beer and you're listening to all his stories, say, look, patience, I had that meter, tick, you can give me that meter point. So you say, no, it looks like you've got patience, but it's not patience. It's not the real meter of patience. If you had that meter of patience, you'd also be patient with your wife. So you didn't have it there. What you had there was some pretense. You were waiting just so that you could tell him your stuff, or so that he'd be friends with you, or so that he'd think good thoughts about you, or you didn't really care what he was saying and you just nodded your head. But it wasn't real. The only real test is at home. That's what we know if you've really got that meaning. And if it's not, then it's not real. Nimsa she'adan she'ein lo shalom bayit eino yachol lishtaber ba'ulda she'bachutz u'chai b'shalom im habir. Therefore, what we see is that a person who does not have shalom bayit, he's not able to say that you can prove from outside that he lives peacefully with other people. El Adraba, rather on the contrary, on the contrary, you should be very embarrassed. If a person who gets on very well with everybody else and doesn't get on with his wife, he shouldn't use the fact that he gets on very well with everyone else to praise himself. Right? Guy walks into the marriage counselor, that's for Shalom, and he sits there with his wife, but he says to the marriage counselor, I don't know what her problem is. Everybody else thinks I'm great. Everybody else I get on with fine. She's got obviously the one with the problem. So he might say that as if that's a good thing. I got on everyone with everyone I get on great. They love me, they think I'm a great guy. Rabbi says, don't praise yourself on that. You should be embarrassed by that. The fact that you get on with everyone else and you don't get on your wife should be embarrassed very much. Why? Because this shows that not only do you not actually have that leader of peace in this case, but it shows that this person is actually a flatterer and a deceiver. And all the peace that he has externally, it's only entirely for ga'ava, for his own pride, and for his love of being respected. That he shows himself to be a person of humility, and he gives up on his own honor, etc., only in order to receive respect. The only reason I act nice with people is that they like me, so they think I'm a great guy. The person realizes that the way to get respect is to go around acting like a humble guy. So he goes around acting like a humble guy. People love me, they think I'm great. They say lots of nice stories about me. They love to have me to their Shabbos table and they tell all their friends, this is a great guy. He's so sweet, he's so calm, he's so kind, he's so gentle. Right? Very nice, I like all that praise. So that's why I continue doing it. It's not real. One hour I get home, I bang the table, I get angry, all right? And then when someone comes to the door and knocks on the door, oh, hello, I'm nice, I'm kind, I'm gentle, I'm sweet. But it's not real. It's just for show. We fall into that. We all fall into it, more or less degree. Right? We don't have to be the worst sinner in the world to see ourselves in every page of the book. Every single page of the book, we have something to work on. Right? That there's something in there that I can take from that. I don't have to be the worst sinner where I'm a complete liar outside and I'm a complete angry person at home and I can... We're not talking about just the extremes. We're talking about everyone. We're using the extremes as an example so that we understand the point that he's trying to make. But even on the smaller detail, we all have what to think about in these things. Birkat HaShalom, the blessing of peace. Hamoded Amiti Shel HaAdam Ketzad Hu Ochez B'chol HaMidot. The true measure of a man as to how he is holding in all of the midot, but befrat b'midat shalom, and especially in the midah of peace, who afterat b'tov beitoh imishto, it's only measured according to how he is at home with his wife. Sham ikan yisayon, over there is the main test, but sham ikan avodah, and over there is the main work, ha'mitit, the true work. Alkol ha'mitzvot shebein adam l'chaveru. This is the true work on all of the mitzvahs between man and his fellow man. The mitzvah of ahavta l'reicha kamocha, the mitzvah of loving your fellow man like you love yourself. Ahavat Yisrael, the mitzvah of loving Am Yisrael. Ladunk l'chasfut, the mitzvah to judge a person favorably. L'hargish et hasheni, to feel the other person, meaning to have sympathy. Lavim, to understand, lakshiv, to pay attention, to listen to them. Lesameach, to make them happy. Lo la'il, not to criticize. Lo levazot, not to disgrace them. Ladat lishtok, to know when to be quiet. Lavil avidotav, to forgo my own honor, etc. All of those things, true test is only in the home. That's where we're really tested on all of those. That's where we know where we're holding. heard a CD the other day from Prophet Arias. Prophet Arias, I don't know if he has anything in English. He's a Talmud of Rav Berland. And, I've actually never met him, but from his tape, CD. Anyway, so he's talking about down the calf's foot, judging a person favorably. So I was just thinking of it now, just reading it, but it's just an interesting point that he brought out there. But judging a person favorably doesn't mean that you have to judge a person, that you judge his actions favorably. If a person acts in a negative way, the Torah is not telling us to judge his actions favorably. No, if someone acts inappropriately, you have to judge that exactly. But you have to say you did wrong. But you judge the person favorably. What does that mean? It means the person themselves you're not judging. You judge the action, but not the person. What does that mean? The action was wrong. This person's breaking Shabbos. Absolutely unacceptable. It's unacceptable to break Shabbos. Hashem said keep Shabbos, and you're breaking it. Unacceptable. However, the person himself, I'm judging favorably. What does that mean? It means I can't say anything about him. I have no clue why he broke Shabbos. I have no clue what he went through. I have no clue what his tests are in life. I have no clue what childhood, how he grew up, what he learned, what he didn't learn, what Yetzirah Hashem gave him. I have no clue. So him himself, I can't judge. He might have a very difficult test. He's got a different Yetzirah than me. Top. So I can't judge him. I don't know why he failed and he did it. But so judging him, I judge favorably. He's a poor guy. He's got Hashem gave him a big Yetzirah. He doesn't know what he's doing. What he's doing is absolutely unacceptable. And if he does it in front of two witnesses with a warning, I'm going to kill him. Right? 100%. Because that's judging the action. So judging the action, you're allowed to do. You have to do. You have to say something's wrong. But judging the person, to know that it's not his fault, and to pray for the poor guy, I have to feel sorry for him. That he is struggling so much that that's how he's living his life. I don't know what he went through, and I don't know what Gilgul he's been through, and I don't know what Hashem gave him as a Yetzirah with bad midot. Not only Yetzirah, gave him bad midot. Hashem gave all of us bad midot. He gave me different bad midot than he gave you. So you don't struggle with my bad midot, and I don't struggle with yours. I don't struggle with anger, personally, but many people do. Whereas I struggle with a lot of things that another person doesn't struggle with. So if I see a person getting angry, I can't judge him and say, you're a bad person, you get angry all the time. Because Hashem didn't give me that bad meter to try and fix in this lifetime. Might give me in a different world, but not in this lifetime. I don't have that to work on. It's not my, well, for whatever reason, Hashem knows why he gave it. But he gave it to someone else. So I can't judge him in terms of what he's going through, why he, what challenges, what faces that he's acts that way. So I'm judging the chassukot means to judge him. I can't judge him. Right? Hashem knows what he went through, but to say the action's wrong is for sure wrong. The person's not allowed to do that. Anyway, so that's just one of the midot of that we get at how judging the chassukot. To know that, and particularly with our wife, even more we judge the chassukot. The way our wife acts, can say even more so. With other people, we don't know what tikkun that they have, and what midot Hashem gave them, and what struggles they have internally. We don't know what internal struggles, internal battles another person has. And therefore, we can't criticize them. And our wife, even more so, because the reason that our wife is acting in a bad way is not only because Hashem gave her the bad midot to start with and struggle with. He gave her our bad midot. That's my bad midot that she's struggling with. She's struggling with it for my sake. Because I haven't fixed it. That's why it's coming out in her. So you know, you need to judge her even more favorably. The only reason why she messed up is because I didn't fix that midot. So for sure I have to judge her favorably. If I judge my wife unfavorably for what she does, I'm really judging myself. Tov. Lachen, רק מי שעובד ומתאמץ לקנות את המידות השלום בביתו, רק הוא יכול לזכות לכלי הנקרא שלום, שמחזיק את כל הבא. Therefore, only a person who works and puts effort into acquiring the midah of shalom, of peace, in his home, only him is able to merit to receive the vessel called peace. And that vessel is a vessel which holds all of the brachot. You should know that this is something that you see in practice, in reality. But when there's no shalom bayit between a couple, they have no bracha in whatever they do. When a person doesn't have shalom bayit, the rest of his life is messed up. When a person does not have shalom bayit, then the rest of their life is also messed up, because they don't have a kli for shalom, a kli for bracha. So the work, person goes to work, and his day is wrecked. He thinks the reason why his day is a wreck is because he had a row with his wife in the morning, and I can't concentrate. And because I can't concentrate, I didn't manage to do my work properly, and I didn't manage to get that deal, and I didn't manage to successfully, right, because my head's all confused from the argument I had, and it's got nothing to do with it. That's just the wallpaper. That's just the covering. The reality is, the reason why you're not successful at work is you've got no shalom. Without shalom, shalom is the vessel that holds the bracha. Without a vessel to hold the bracha, you don't get any bracha. You can't have bracha in learning, you can't have bracha in panasa, because you haven't got a vessel to hold it. And that vessel is the shalom bayit. That's the vessel for everything. So a person should spend all of their effort on getting shalom bayit. And then everything comes. Then you get learning, then you get panasa, then everything comes as a gift, as a result. Not the other way around. People spend hours and hours in the office because they think that's what's making their panasa. No, I'll just spend another few hours, I'll just work another late night. And they get home, they spend half an hour with their wife before she goes to bed, tired. The wife's grumpy because she hasn't seen her husband, she's been with all the kids all day. The husband's grumpy because he's been working all day and he's too tired to even speak to her. And he just wants to eat some food and sleep. So they have no shalom bayit at all. And he thinks, this is the best way to make my parnasa. I spend all my time trying. It's completely hafuk. It's all the opposite. He would leave work 4 hours earlier and spend that 4 hours with his wife, he'd get much more parnasa. Because he'd have shalom bayit. And he'll have a bracha to collect all of that. And we don't see that. That takes a lot of trust. It takes a lot of emunah to trust that Hashem's running the world and not me. To trust that Hashem's going to give me bracha, going to give me panasa based on my shalom bayit, but not based on the amount of hours I put in. That Hashem should instill us with munah in the Torah, munah in the Tzaddikim, that we believe their words and we follow their advice, and that brings us to shalom bayit and to bracha and everything that we do.
Amen.